On this episode of Chatting with Slim, we get into some common conspiracy theories that have been around our world, whether it be for centuries or for days. Now, much of the podcast was recorded just over 2 weeks ago when my co-host Crystal was with her family in an unfortunate time. She is still going through some things with her family, so I do want to send my prayers to the Bourgeois family. She just recently had an aunt who she was very, very close to, who is basically like a mother figure to her, that passed away. And within 2 weeks of her aunt's passing, her uncle, the husband of the deceased, found out he had blood clots in his lungs, had to be rushed to the hospital, and he's still not quite out of the woods yet, but things are looking up tremendously in his situation. My continued prayers for Mr. Milton Bourgeois Sr. and my continued prayers for the Bourgeois family as they go through quite a trying time right now in their family. I'll apologize for the audio glitches. As I said, most of this was recorded about 2 weeks ago, and I actually had to segue in the last 20 or 30 minutes at a later date. And so, like I said, I will apologize if you hear the audio glitch at all. The joys of live recording without a studio. But we hope you enjoy listening, and without further ado, here's Jack Logwit Repeater. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are and whatever time of the day or night it is in the world where you're at. Thank you for joining me on Chatting with Slim. My name is Josh. They call me Slim. My lovely co-host Crystal is not with me on this episode. She's currently with her family about an hour and a half from Baton Rouge. Unfortunately, she had an immediate family death. One of her aunts that she was exceptionally close to and had become almost like a second mother passed away, unfortunately, due to major complications from heart attack and heart disease. So, I wanted to dedicate this episode to the life and the memory of Mary Elizabeth Bourgeois. We're going to miss you, Aunt Mary. But as I always say, it's not goodbye. It's just till next time. And I picked the topic for this episode sort of specifically with that in mind, and that is discussing various conspiracy theories that have been out in our world, whether they've been out here for a couple of days, a couple of years, or even a couple of decades, or even a couple of centuries. And I will say, in my research, trying to look up some of these conspiracy theories and reading about them, some of them have been pretty easy to debunk. Others, not so much. But our purpose is not necessarily to try and debunk everyone. All right, it's more, let's discuss it, let's look at it from logical aspects, and see if we can't try to maybe get some of them figured out. I don't have the answers to all of them. As I've said before, I have ideas. They may not be the greatest ideas. They may not be the best solutions. Just kind of how I view it. What I really mostly wanted to do is take the information, put it out there, and just let you decide how you feel about it. Because people, humans in general, require this sense of order, that we have to have order, and we have to know the answer. And in reality, the world and things that happen in it are very random, very chaotic most times. And what I have found is that most people, most humans, have an innate inability to understand statistical probability, or they have some type of misunderstanding with understanding the statistical probability. Sometimes it's because that is what we hope it to be. We don't know the answer, and we want an answer. We need to have an answer to satisfy that order in our life. And that's kind of where conspiracy theories come into the mix. Now, there are many of them out there that I've been asked about. I've been asked about everything from do I believe aliens exist to do I think we really landed on the moon to does Bigfoot exist? I've been asked if I think the COVID vaccine, conspiracies, I've also been asked why I go really hard on flat earthers. And I'll start with that one because that it's probably the one conspiracy theory on planet Earth that I don't even get why it's a conspiracy theory. Or that it's some kind of a secret that or enlightened thing. I will say straight up, man, it for flat earthers, I'm not gonna tell you what you gotta believe, but I mean, science has more than time and time again proven the flat earth theory to be wrong. I mean, come on. I mean, I'll just give you 3 points on it myself. So first off, is that we have 8 planets in our solar system. Yes, 8. Yeah, 8. We have 8. Yeah, because Pluto's not a planet anymore. It's an exoplanet in our Kuiper belt. Get over it. So, all of our planets in the solar system, our sun, all the stars, everything in the universe is circular. It's globular. It's ball-shaped, spherical. Yet we're the only thing out there that's flat as a goddamn disc or a plate. And to me, that not a logical thought. It doesn't make sense to me from that aspect. Also, from my own personal experience, I've been on airplanes. I've looked out the windows of airplanes. You can see the curvature of the earth. I've been on Navy vessels. I've sailed around the world. And I can tell you that no matter what direction you sail in a Navy ship or any vessel on the sea, you will only be able to see about 9 miles in every direction around you. And you know what? Second you move an inch, your horizon changes. And then that spot becomes your new center of horizon. So then you begin to see 9 miles and 9 miles, and you never see more than 9 miles. But it keeps going. Now, I've been on a Navy ship from Seattle, Washington, all the way to Dubai, Jebel Ali, Bahrain. The Red Sea, that's over half the distance of the world. And we never fell off. So, I that's the one that I laugh at. I am sorry. I have to laugh at the idea of flat Earth, and I don't even understand why it's some kind of conspiracy. So, I mean, the last point that I'll say on it, I mean, we have photos of Earth from space. It doesn't look like a flat disk. I mean, I think some people just want to be different on purpose. Like, just to spite or just to be funny or quirky or different. So they gotta go against the grain. That's my only explanation for the whole flat earth thing. Since we've now touched into the realm of space, another thing that I've been asked is, did I think the moon landing and the Apollo missions were a hoax? And no. This is not a conspiracy theory either. We did land on the moon. It's been proven by other countries. In fact, a few years ago, China sent a rover, a lunar rover, so to speak, or an orbiter. My apologies, not a rover. The Chinese sent a lunar orbiter. It orbited the moon multiple times, photographing the entire surface of the moon. Those photos showed multiple command module landing sites, numerous tire tracks. Hell, the buggy was. They had a picture of the buggy. They had a picture of the flag. They're sitting there going, holy crap, there's Neil Armstrong's footprint. The Americans really did walk on the moon. Well, no shit. Of course we did. I mean, from a logical perspective, y'all. Okay? Just look at it from. I'm not saying you have to believe my angle, but I mean, dude, it would be more trouble, more money, and a harder time faking it. It would be easier to just fucking go to the moon. You know? I mean, they literally have all the documentation that shows the money they spent on the Saturn V rocket. All the research and development that was done on that. You think the government would've done all of that and then just faked? You know how much they would have had to stage and choreograph and it and not to mention how many people would have to keep their mouth shut without at least one person coming out and going, whistleblower. This is fake. And none of that happened. None of it. I see it as this, simply. That we are so with it. You know? And people say, look at the videos and go, oh, well, look at how they're moving around. They'd have to have wires attached to them. No, because they're not in Earth's gravity, idiot. Sorry, maybe idiot is not the proper word, but it's to think, look, and realize that they are on a planet with almost zero gravity. It's not like Earth. They're not going to move like they're on Earth. And if it's the first time anyone's been there, don't you think it's going to be a little bit awkward to maneuver around in that kind of an environment for a human? But people don't think of these things. They want to see what they want to see. Now, I've been asked, do I believe in aliens? Well, I don't know. I go back and forth with that one. Because I, on this one, have to go with what are the definitive facts. Because there are a lot of photos, a lot of stories, a lot of people who claim they've been abducted, seen aliens, witnessed weird light patterns in the sky, weird shapes, weird, you know. I'm not debating those people on what they experienced or what they think they may have experienced. I can't speak to their sensory perception, but to approach this from a logical discussion standpoint, okay? What I do know is that people who are trained to look up into the night sky and view our solar system and view our stars and view the things that are out in space, such as our astronomers, our astrophysicists like Neil deGrasse Tyson. They don't ever see anything alien when they look up. Now, maybe they're looking in very specific locations, you know. Like, I mean, if you're just looking in one direction, you might miss what flashes out the, you know, 20 miles that way. You know, so it is, it's possible that aliens would even visit us. Because I thought this was an interesting take on it all. We have satellites in space, Google Earth satellites, that are constantly looking down at the face of the planet. And I would have to think that if anyone from Google Earth witnessed the landing of an alien craft on this planet, while a government might keep that secret, you'd think someone at Google Earth is going to keep their mouth shut. Someone's going to say something. Some type of picture or video is going to get out. And and there's been nothing. Now, I will say your profession does not make you your senses somehow better. And the human sensory system is flawed. It's very hubris of us to think that our five senses are the end-all, be-all in this world, because they're not. It's obvious. That's why we train dogs to smell for things that we can't smell. That's why we train other animals to do things that we can't do, that our senses can't pick up, because their senses are more acute than ours. So that tells you right there, as humans, our five senses are not the end-all be-all. And it's very hubris of any human to also think that even if there were aliens, that they would look anything or be anything like us. Because the closest relative to humans are what? Chimps? Primates. Well, the chimp shares 98% of the same DNA that we have. We share 98% of our DNA. So there's only a 2% difference in DNA between chimps and humans. Now, let's swing that pendulum the other way. What would be a 2% increase above humans? What would that life form be like? Well, if you go back down in it, or swing the pendulum back the other way, well, chimps are smart animals, intelligent, but comparing them to humans, obviously, most of the tasks and things that we can teach a chimp to do are the same things that we teach our toddlers and our young. So that means basic things. You know, you pick up a shape and be able to place it in an appropriate hole for that shape, whether it be square, circle, triangle. I mean, those are rudimentary things. And we can teach chimps to do that. Because we have 2% more DNA. So, what's 2% above us? Say there was alien culture on another planet. Their DNA was 2% more than us. If they came to visit here, how would they view us? Would they view us just as we view the chimp? Something that I've thought about. Would they come here and look at it and go, huh? There's no intelligent life, Leslie. Now, the other train of thought that I've sort of taken towards this, all right, because people talk about Area 51 and there was a spacecraft that crashed and the government covered it up. And first off, look, I worked for our government in the Department of Defense for 6 years. I don't want anyone to think I am un-American by saying this, but do you think the government is even that competent to try to cover something up like that? Do you think they even have the competency to pull it off? Because I sure don't. Especially the United States government in the past 20 years or so. But this is going to sound funny to most, but look. If there was an actual alien craft that crash landed in Roswell, Arizona. You, as an alien, took all that time and all that sophistication to fly all the way across the galaxy to come visit us, and then you couldn't land the damn spacecraft, then I might not want to meet you. I mean, I want to meet the alien that can actually land the dang spacecraft. This is what I want to meet. But you don't see that. And so my thing is this. Man, tip lock a. You get abducted by aliens? Just. If you can. Try to jack something off their ship, one of their tools. They could be an ashtray. Hey, alien, look, there's a spider. Whoop! Stick it in your pocket. Bring back some evidence, is all I'm saying. I need evidence. Because, see me, I'm a scientific person. And in the world of science, in scientific labs, you can't just walk into a scientific lab and say, "I saw it. You gotta believe me." Oh yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. So now it's this way for the rest of eternity. It doesn't work like that in science. Okay? Because in science, what happens? You have some breakthrough, some discovery. You say, "I have a new theory on this because XYZ, so forth and so on." Then, what happens next in the scientific community is that all of your peers will try to prove you wrong. And when they can't prove you wrong and they start finding all the same results that you found, then they will then, your colleagues and peers will then say, "Yes, this is correct. We have asserted that you are correct." So now this will be our new way of thinking now that we've had multiple people double check this. Because we're not just going to take your word for it. I mean, there have been cases where we're supposed to believe someone because they're a pilot or they're a police officer, because they're in a profession that is honorable. Yet, human and still susceptible to that particular human's sensory perception, which can be flawed. So, I mean, there's an instance of a county sheriff in New Mexico swore up and down at nighttime he was following an alien craft, and all it really was was Venus in the night sky, and he was on a curvy road, and he thought Venus up in the sky while he was driving on his, he stopped to pay attention to the fact that he's driving on a curvy road. He sees this bright thing is moving around, and he doesn't understand, why is it moving around while I'm on a curvy road? And that's Venus. He didn't know it was Venus. Wasn't aware of astrology. Or didn't care to know. One of the two. So, your profession doesn't necessarily also make you an expert. Not when it comes to the human sensory palate. Now, I will say that those people who have abduction stories, I don't know what to say about that. Some people have said that some of these people are crazy or mentally ill or various things like that. I don't know what to say on that other than you've experienced what you've experienced. My one thought is that, you know, and I've heard this from people when I brought it up, that they'll say, well, maybe there's a fourth dimension. There could be. Who knows? When it comes to aliens, maybe the verdict is still out. And who knows? Maybe one day we are visited by a alien culture from across the galaxy. I would hope that they are not hostile, but knowing what I know of human civilization, I will say that in our human history, every time two civilizations of people have met, the one with the lesser technology generally gets conquered. And that has been our human history. So unfortunately, I parlay that out into the universe to say that one of two things will happen if we are ever visited in that way. Because realize, if you come halfway across the galaxy and visit us in a very short amount of time, you are probably a lot more technologically advanced than us. So, either you are conquerors and you will conquer us, or you have gained technology as well as wisdom and are benevolent enough of beings to realize that war is not an answer. And maybe you come to Earth and teach us a few lessons. That's my hope. Okay, I grew up in Star Wars, Star Trek world too. It would be really, really cool one day, even if it's 1,000 years into our human history, if we were traversing the stars like Captain Kirk and Spock. Maybe one day something like that happens, you know. It's interesting topic for sure. Because there's no definitive answer. Evidence at times is sketchy. Some things are hearsay. So with that one, the verdict is out. But one that I will say as I transition from aliens is other beings and things on this planet. Things like Bigfoot, Sasquatch. I don't put Yeti in there, or Abominable Snowman. I consider that something totally different because it's a completely different part of the world. The whole Bigfoot, Sasquatch thing is really more of a, I think it's more of a North American, United States, Canadian kind of myth, if you will. I've posted on social media many times my thoughts about the whole idea of Bigfoot, mostly in a comical way. And my statement was, we have all these satellites in space. They can see a pimple on a mosquito's butt from 100 miles up in space. But they never see Bigfoot. So, I don't know. I'm not going to say definitively, but I mean, looking at it from a logical perspective, no one has ever produced a remains of a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot. Most video and photo evidence is so grainy and indistinguishable that you really couldn't tell either way. And there have even been instances in photo evidence of people trying to pass off hoaxes. People dressing up in suits and staging grainy pictures. So that all leads to the disbelief that something like this could exist. Now I will say that scientists are always finding new creatures, new animals on this earth. They're still finding, as they go deeper into, as they're able to go deeper into places like the Amazon rainforest, they're seeing new species of insects, new species of snakes, species of caiman crocodiles that they thought were extinct and are not, because they just live in this one part of the Amazon that is sort of controlled by drug cartels. And so scientists and people that aren't a part of the drug cartel don't go in that area of the world. to do scientific research. When they do, they get shot by the cartel, they get killed by the cartel, or they get taken hostage and held for ransom by the cartel. So there are areas of the world that are less explored. And as we do explore those areas of the world, they find new creatures. But generally, the creatures that they find are generally insects, new forms of bacteria. I mean, heck, they're starting to even say that as permafrost in Russia melts, places that have been permafrosted over for thousands of years, and because of global warming, these places are now melting. It's not permafrost anymore. And they're saying that they're even finding bacteria that has been laid dormant in these permafrosts for thousands of years. Bacteria that could be possibly harmful to humans. Viruses, and even found one that was some kind of a mix between a virus and a single cell organism. So I say all that to say that yes, we're gonna find out different animals exist that we didn't know existed, but they're generally not such a large creature as a Sasquatch. Generally smaller creatures, insects, bacteria, rodent-sized mammals, birds that, you know, new species of birds, new species of plants. But you generally don't see them finding new species of large mammals. So, for me, I have to say that I personally don't feel that Bigfoot exists. I think we would have found it by now. I think, you know, we'd have more definitive evidence that a creature like a Sasquatch exists by now than what we have, considering our technology. So, moving on. Another thing that I always get asked about, I think is funny, is I've been asked to, I think, and I think I even answered it. I did. I answered it on one of my Q&As really quickly, probably, a few months ago. And someone asked, do you think the government is trying to microchip us? Actually, they asked more specifically, did they think the COVID vaccine was the government's way of trying to microchip us? And I had to laugh at that assertion, actually. These are people that I'm probably going to be, I'm just guessing, people who aren't fond of the government. Again, people see what they want to see. I've always said they don't have to chip you. because you carry one around in your pocket. It's called a cell phone. I feel that just looking at it from a logical standpoint, if you want to track somebody efficiently, why not use what's already existing? If you got to microchip somebody, then you got to build a network to detect those microchips, huh? Why would they have to go through that trouble if you're already carrying electronic devices on your person? You see how easy it is to hack? Heck, we just had the biggest pipeline in the United States of America that has been shut down yet. Shut down by a hack. So, caused people on the East Coast to panic. And they get asked that a lot with a lot of the recent events that have, you know, as I said, they're like, people give the government too much credit for their competence. You know, a lot of people have said a lot of things about the COVID vaccine. A lot of people have said a lot of things about the origins of COVID-19. On all of that, firstly, I will say, because it just came out about these report of workers at the Wuhan lab that got sick weeks before the first cases were really reported. I look at that differently than some, because coronavirus in and of itself, not specifically COVID-19, but coronaviruses have been around for thousands of years. They've looked at the genome of this virus, which is why they have vaccines for it now. And I'll say this, I don't feel like they made this coronavirus in a lab. Whether it escaped from said lab is a different story. I think people are asking the wrong questions. My first question is, okay, you had this strain of coronavirus in a lab somewhere in Wuhan, China. What was your purpose for having it in the lab? I mean, were you testing this to try to find some miracle cure for the common cold? Or were you trying to weaponize this shit? That's the question you need to be asking. Because what I think happened is, these people get hospitalized messing with this stuff in a lab. Now it's out. Now it's in a hospital. And it starts spreading. And then you have the first COVID-19 cases the world has seen, before they even know what the hell it really is or does. And I do believe that the government of China covered up a lot of shit. You know, a lot of facts. How far did the cover-up go? That's to be determined. I'll say for anyone that lives in this country, see what happens when the government controls everything that everyone does. So that's point on that. But as far as the vaccine is concerned, what I'm seeing is across the board the very same thing that I see with any other medication at all, period. And that goes back to people not understanding statistical probability. You know, people like to post on social media picture of someone who had an allergic reaction to it as the example of why they won't take it. And that's just fear. It's fear. That's it. Realize that that's okay. That happened once in 1 million time. Are you that 1 millionth person? Otherwise, you really don't have nothing to worry about. I have been vaccinated. I had the Moderna vaccine, 2 shots. Thankful to my employer for providing that to me at no cost to myself. And other than a sore shoulder from getting a shot both times, I nothing. No ill feelings, no anything like that. Then again, for reference, I've been, though 20 years ago, vaccinated for a lot of shit when I went into the military. And I was in the Navy when we were forced to take the anthrax vaccine, or we were discharged from the military. So, for anyone who's complaining about being strongly encouraged to take the COVID-19 vaccine, you would not have wanted to serve in the time that I served when you were forced to take a vaccine, such as the anthrax vaccine. Because with that vaccine, it was firstly 3 shots, basically 2 weeks apart, opposite shoulders every time. So if you got your first shot in your left arm, your second shot in your right arm, third shot in the left arm. And then after that, you got a yearly booster. And I got my first 3, and about 2 months before the yearly booster that I was supposed to take, the Department of Defense deemed that was no longer a threat or something to that effect, and they basically said no more anthrax vaccines. But they did not say that for the fact that people were getting sick from the vaccine. And there were people that did have adverse reactions. Not very many. But also realize that, dude, like when you take a flu shot, a lot of times people get a little sick for a day or two. Hell, sometimes I've seen people that don't get a flu shot because it makes them sick. Other people are fine with a flu shot. I mean, that inability to understand statistical probability. As I said, ask the right question. Ask yourself, what were they doing with the COVID-19 in that lab? That's the question. Was it medical research? Was it weaponization? What was it? Because I sort of feel, and I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist here, but if you were researching coronaviruses in a lab for medical research to try and cure the common cold or find better flu vaccines or whatever the case may be, and it's humanitarian in nature, scientific in nature, then why would you have to hide and or cover up how it got out. Other than to make yourself look good, and I don't see that as, I don't see it as possible, because by that time you've already got the negative light on you. You might as well just kind of take it, look, and move on, is how I feel. But it didn't go down that way. So my thought is that, why are you trying to hide how this got out so that no one found out you were trying to weaponize this stuff in a lab to use it against people at one point? So that's the question that needs to be asked. We won't find that out yet. There's still things going on with that whole investigation or probe, whatever you want to call it. I mean, how many commercials do you see on television all the time, people? Have you or a loved one died or suffered various illnesses because of yada 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 medicine for yada 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 ailment? That, do you want to join our class action lawsuit? I mean, that. But the funny thing about that, all right, now I did this on one of them. For one of these medications that I saw an ad for one of these class action lawsuits on this pharmaceutical company for this one medication that they made, and it had, and it did this and it did that and this and that. And then I went back and I was able to pull a commercial from that company 6 years prior, and every single thing that class action lawsuit suing for were actual side effects that were listed by the pharmaceutical company in their commercial when they say side effects may include blah, 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 blah. And then you can't understand what they're saying because they say it so fast. You remember when they used to do that on radio too, right? Because I do. They give you the legal part really fast so you can't catch it. Now, I've said that. I've always said pharmaceutical companies in this country shouldn't be able to advertise on regular TV. But then what would be the alternative? Because with that situation, if the pharmaceutical companies don't try to pander to the people that are going to be taking the pills, taking the medication, then they have to pander to the doctors. It becomes about who's getting paid at that point. So it's really more about just educating yourself on it. You know, don't just run to your doctor and be like, I want this one. That's kind of not, I mean, just because it helps with that condition doesn't mean that you specifically can take that medication. But people run to their doctors and I want this and I want, and I seen this and da da da, and my friend takes this and, you know, and they basically pressure the doctors into something, and then when they get hit with the side effects, which are already known, then they don't want to point the blame at themselves. They want to point the blame. Well, the doctor should have known. So they're, in essence, no one takes into account the human aspect of it either. The greed, the want for just make money or make easy money, like off of Medicare or Medicaid or insurance frauding. That stuff does happen, but there are great doctors out there. There are a lot of great doctors out there. Sadly, people need to be better patients. Anyhow, I mean, that has been just a few of the conspiracy theories out there. There are many. I'm not even going to get into some of the QAnon ones. It doesn't even pay. I'm not even going to get into things like the Illuminati and, lizard men that are really controlling the world. I mean, it's too much of that is just kind of craziness, if you ask me. And while some of this stuff is obvious, there's obviously the Earth is not flat. Maybe one day we find Bigfoot, maybe not. Who knows about aliens? When it comes to us landing on the moon, yes, we landed on the moon. The problem was that we stopped landing on the moon. And we stopped going there. And now, not only can we not get people to the moon, we can barely get people up in space. Or actually, low Earth orbit. We are having people sign up for NASA and Space Force so that we can send them where hundreds have gone before. Really and truly, it make learning fun again in the schools, and really stress STEM programs in the schools, especially at a young age. Get our children involved in the technology of tomorrow. Make our children science literate again. And I think if we do that, some of these conspiracy theories will work their way out. Or heck, we get a science literate community, we might be able to prove some of these conspiracy theories right instead of trying to debunk them and prove them wrong. Either way, at least we know, and then we have order again. But just remember, everyone, it is okay not to know. It's okay not to have an answer. You don't have to have an answer for everything. I don't have an answer for everything. Even though sometimes it sounds like I probably do. As I said, I have ideas. And thing that I tell people is I challenge you to change my idea on this topic. I'll listen. So change my mind. Well, that is going to be all of my time for this podcast. As always, I do want to talk about an organization, or organizations, I should say, that are doing amazing work for veterans. I normally put a Bravo Zulu segment at the end of every podcast, or I try to at least. For this podcast, I'm not going to do that. My Bravo Zulu is because as I'm finishing the recording of this podcast, it is now 1:35 a.m. It has now transpired from Sunday into Monday, so it is now Memorial Day. Today is supposed to be a solemn day. It's not a day to recognize all veterans, and it's not a day to recognize those that currently wear a uniform. Memorial Day is about the ones that did not come home, and the ones that gave the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we have in the United States of America. So, happy Memorial Day to you all. Please do enjoy the time with your families. And although it is a long weekend, please do remember the significance of why we have a long weekend. You know, Arlington National Cemetery is 624 acres of why we are free in this country. And there are many other cemeteries around this country and around the world even that have men and women who have put on that uniform and gave an ultimate sacrifice. So my Bravo Zulu goes out to all of you, my brothers and sisters who never came home. I will see you all one day in Valhalla. Until then, you are relieved of your duty, for we now have the watch. As always, if you can, please get involved with a veterans organization. There are a lot of great ones out there, such as Wounded Warrior Project, the Gary Sinise Foundation, FSB Initiative, Code of Vets. There are so many. There are 45,000 nonprofit organizations in this country, in the United States of America alone, that are designed to help veterans and active duty military, as well as families. I don't want to knock the VA hard because they do good work for so many, but they are so overburdened. That's why there's 45,000 nonprofit organizations in this country to help veterans, because the VA can't do it all. And these organizations, they can't do it alone. So please get involved and help out. Every little bit helps. If it's not a veterans organization, get involved with something in your community. United Way. Go volunteer at the YMCA. Get involved in your community somehow. Make a difference. Be the change you want to see in the world. And more importantly, with this being Memorial Day, live a life worth their sacrifice. And as always, you can find us on social media, on Twitter, at Chattin' with Slim. Check us out there. Likes, follows, shares, all that stuff on social media is very welcome. Please send in comments. If you have questions, we like to know what people think so that we can improve, make ourselves better. Or if you just have a question out of curiosity and want an answer to it. It's something with military technology or anything really. I'm open to giving my opinions and ideas on almost any topic. Also, we are gearing up slowly but surely to transition the podcast to video. That has been an interesting process that has been fraught with some slight technical difficulties as well as monetary difficulties. But we're getting there. And as I stated before, we've also got some logistics to work out with a few veterans to start having guests as well, even if we don't go to video. So look forward to all of that. Keep up with our social media. Get involved. Find out legislation that is affecting veterans and active duty military. Read that legislation. Educate yourself on it. And then urge your elected officials to vote for a lot of needed legislation that's coming around that's going to affect our veterans, our active duty military, and their families. And I also want to thank my two, what I call, unofficial favorites of the podcast. I got to give my shout outs to Black Rifle Coffee, Dark Roast, for providing my beverage sipping attire and beverage. As I've stated before, I'm a former Navy guy and I like my coffee. Black Rifle Coffee does a pretty good job with most of their blends. $12.99 for a 12 pack of the K-Cups, or you can get small bags of grounds if you're into that. They are veteran owned and part of their proceeds go back to help veterans organizations. And also, I always like to give a shout out to Till Valhalla Project. Once we do go to video, you will see me wearing their shirts. They have a lot of merchandise that they sell. All of the proceeds from the sales that do not go back into operating the business go into making handmade plaques for our fallen soldiers, our fallen law enforcement officers, and our fallen firefighters, as well as our fallen EMTs. And they do this at the surprise of the family. The family does not know anything about it. They gather everything they need. They get the plaque together and they present it to the families so that their hero can be memorialized somehow. And it all benefits ending veteran suicide and PTSD awareness. So check them out. They're on all the social media platforms, as is Black Rifle Coffee. They also both have their websites. You can check them both out. See all the prices of all of their merchandise that they both carry. And as I said, all of it goes back to good causes. I always like to promote products that I use and or have, especially when they're good products and they're for a good cause. So shout out to Black Rifle Coffee Company and shout out to Till Valhalla Project. We hope you have enjoyed your time listening to us. I wanted to also say thank you to whoever tuned in from the UK. Also, whoever tuned in from the Bahamas, whoever tuned in from Germany, and whoever tuned in from Israel. Specifically to the person that tuned in Israel, my prayers go out to you, especially considering what is going on in the world right now, especially your part of the world. I hope that you are okay and as safe as possible. And thank you for listening. I'm glad that this podcast can reach that far, because as I've stated before, the mental aspects of all of this PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, that speaks to something larger in society when it comes to general mental health. And for me, that is a extremely huge thing, is mental health. I myself do not have PTSD. I don't suffer from that type of thing. But what I do suffer from is grief, because I've lost more of my service member buddies that I served with to their demons than what I have to war. I always say, reach out. Talk to someone. Reach out to me. I'd rather hear your story than read your obituary. Don't give in to the struggle within. Again, thanks for tuning in, everyone. And as always, snag a bye. It's just till next time. So until next time, be good. More importantly, be good to each other.
Chatting with Slim Podcast.
Well, if you stuck around this long, then you deserve to hear Jack Lock Repeater in its full glory. Instead of just the first 27 seconds that you hear in the intro of my podcast. So, hope you enjoy Jack Locke Repeater.
Nothing to say, another brakeman on the rail so that the devil can pray. Screaming at the street lights and I'm bound to be heard, with a pocket full of nothing and a mouthful of words. In the bread line again, I should just call it my home. Fish and change from dirty mouths of the public bones. Daily swallow in the squalor that you only heard of. All the ashes down below and all the rain from above. You never be, nobody never going nowhere. I got the train coming at me and I just don't care. With my soul on the market and I feel so strange. Nobody's buying anyway, can't make a penny for change. Besides, who'd be there to split the rails if I were to go away? Asking me to spare in the joint. I could pull in a money machine, but really what'd be the point? In the shipwreck of the city where the tragedy sang, and I'm just another echo, watch me ring, ring, ring. Yeah, misery with company, I got nothing new. A broke down repeater with a five nickel view. Screaming at the street lights and I'm bound to be heard. Say you love me or you hate me, all I'm hearing is words. You never be, nobody never going nowhere. Got the train coming at me and I just don't care. With my soul on the market and I feel so strange. Nobody's buying anyway, can't break a penny for change. Besides, who'd be there to split the rails if I were to go away? Yeah, 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 yeah.